Psalms, the ninth psalm, Psalm 9, that is page 427 in your pew Bible, page 427. While you're turning, let me remind you, 2 weeks from today, we begin Advent as we begin to prepare our hearts for Christmas. And our choir is preparing for that as well. So for each Sunday of Advent, we're going to have some special music. Of course, we'll have our Advent wreath, and I'm very excited about what the choir is going to be doing over the next few weeks, beginning 2 weeks from today with Advent. You just be in expectancy, because you're going to be blessed. In fact, I would just tell you, it's just going to bless your socks off. And I tell you what, it was good watching FSU beat Miami. But if FSU beats Florida, I may wear shorts and these socks 2 weeks from today. All right, let's stand together. Page 427, Psalm 9, beginning in verse 1. God willing, the next 2 weeks, beginning today and next Sunday, I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving. Giving thanks. Let's begin reading together verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turned back, they stumbled and perished before you. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemies have vanished in everlasting ruins. Their cities you have rooted out. The very memory of them has perished. But the Lord sits enthroned forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He judges the world with righteousness. He judges the peoples with equity. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who put your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Thank you so much. You can be seated. One of the very first thoughts that comes to mind regarding Thanksgiving, of course, for us Americans, is the Thanksgiving meal. You can almost recite the menu by memory. Turkey, dressing, oyster dressing if you really want to kick it up a notch, gravy, cranberry sauce, rolls, butter, sweet potato casserole with marshmallows and pecans, green bean casserole, and of course the traditional Thanksgiving dessert. Pumpkin pie. You thought I was going to say in key lime. And I'll have to admit it, I typed it in, but I decided I would not do that to you today. Many of us will spend Thanksgiving afternoon moaning and lamenting about how much we ate and overate. So I thought today I'd begin today's message by giving you 9 sure signs that you ate too much on Thanksgiving Day. Sign number 1, your doctor tells you your weight would be perfect for a man 17 feet tall. Sign number 2, you are responsible for a slight but measurable shift in the earth's axis. Sign number 3, paramedics bring in the jaws of life to pry you out of the easy boy. Sign number 4, the potatoes you ate set off another famine in Ireland. Sign number 5, you receive a sumo wrestler application in your email. Sign number 6, you set off 3 earthquake seismographs on your morning jog Friday. Sign number 7, pricking your finger for cholesterol screening only yielded gravy. Sign number 8, you consider gluttony your patriotic duty. And sign number 9, representatives from the Butterball Hall of Fame have called you twice. For some, Thanksgiving is a holiday, a time off from work to be with family an afternoon to sit in front of the television, overindulging on football games, a large newspaper filled with coupons and sales flyers. For others, it's another day of work, or possibly a day of sad memories and reflection, a day to stay in bed as long as possible, to avoid the thoughts and the memories and the very connotation of Thanksgiving. For followers of Christ, Thanksgiving is not just a day in the year, a day on the calendar. Thanksgiving for us is to be a way of life and a way of facing life. Throughout Scripture, we are implored to give thanks. For example, Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. The 100th Psalm, the 4th verse. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In our text today, the psalmist offers us a short but very insightful description of thanksgiving. And the first thing he tells us is this: thanksgiving is thorough. Thanksgiving is thorough. Webster defined the word thorough with this definition, and I quote, carried through to completion, exhaustive, complete in all respects. So thanksgiving that we offer to God is to be thorough, is to be exhaustive, is to be carried through to completion. It is to be complete in all respects. And our text mentions that in Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. God desires that our giving of thanks be wholehearted, that it be with our whole heart, that it not just be something we do when we come to church and we sing a song of praise or a song of worship, that it not just be something we do when the offering is taken up or the Apostles' Creed is read. It is to be something that is done with us or done by us and through us with everything that is within us. I mentioned to you, Sherry and I went to the football game last night. And I want to tell you something. Every fan there, well, I won't say every fan there. Some of them were in the, what was the place? The Champions Club, sitting there eating during the whole game, apparently watching it on television. But those of us who were sitting out in the stadium were wholehearted. Every time that other team came on the field that was wearing those ugly colors that contained orange, every time they came on the field, all of us good fans began booing them wholeheartedly. And every time Florida State did something good, we cheered and we chopped wholeheartedly. I mean, there were some people standing up doing the double chop. It was wholehearted. It was all in. It was exhaustive. We were determined to carry it through to completion. And that is the type of giving of thanks that God is looking for. The whole heart. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord said this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The psalmist said this in the 119th Psalm, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. Solomon in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13 gives us a key of prayer where God speaks to Jeremiah and says, You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. This is one of the indictments of Amaziah, who was one of the kings of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 2, in describing the reign of this king, this is how his reign was summarized. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. But the writer did not put a period there. He put a comma. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, comma, but not wholeheartedly. But not wholeheartedly. And I wonder in my life, in my relationship with Christ, how many times has God said of Rodney, he does what is right in my eyes, but not wholeheartedly. Of my worship, he does what is right in my eyes, but not wholeheartedly. In my giving, he does what is right in my eyes, but not wholeheartedly. In my life, as in my relationship with Christ, he does what is right in my eyes, but not wholeheartedly. Thanksgiving is not only to be thorough as far as giving of my whole heart, but thanksgiving is thoroughly telling of his deeds. Thanksgiving, not just Thanksgiving Day, but Thanksgiving is a wonderful day to tell someone what God has done for you. So I want to ask you something. Think about what you do on Thanksgiving Day when you sit down to the table. And you're looking at all that food. Or maybe your table can't hold all the food, so you've got it all lined up and everybody is smelling the food and you're getting ready to get in line. What is the last thing you do? We pray. We say the blessing. That's good. But I wonder what would happen this year if one of you were to say, before we pray, I want to tell you, I want to give thanks to God. I want to give thanks to God that we're not sitting at Big Ben Hospice right now. I want to give thanks to God that we're not in the ICU right now. I want to give thanks to God that we're not down at Shands Hospital with a sick child. I want to give thanks to God that you, my family, are here. I want to give thanks to God for my health. I want to give thanks to God for His blessings on my life. And this is what a wonderful day for you and I to give thanks to God. Not just to, that's a beautiful turkey you cooked. Thank you. But to be able to say, before we pray, I want to give thanks to God for what He's done for me. I want to give thanks to God that we're able to meet today as a family. Because Thanksgiving last year, many of you couldn't do that. I want to give thanks to God for His faithfulness, His goodness, His kindness. What a wonderful day for us to tell someone what God has done for us. This was the Jesus' admonition to the demoniac that Jesus cast the legion of demons out of. The story is found in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. And Mark describes this man with these words, speaking of this demoniac. It says, when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And here's the description of this man. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with chains. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. Can you imagine, let's just project that up to 2021. Can you imagine what that, if he was married, what his wife and if he had children and his grandchildren were thinking on Thanksgiving Day? As they're in their home and out in the distance, they can hear a husband, a dad, a grandfather, a son, a brother screaming and crying day and night. Jesus comes on the scene, casts the demons out. In Mark 5, Mark gives us the conclusion of this story. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might go with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy He has shown you." And he went away and he began to proclaim in the city how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Growing up, we used to sing this song, "I Love to Tell the Story." I love to tell the story. And of course, one of our favorite hymns begins with a man telling his story when he says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Tell the story to give thanks for what the Lord has done for you. To give thanks for what the Lord has done for me. A few weeks ago, Sherry and I were in Greer, South Carolina, and we were going to drive on a Saturday. We were going to drive to Greenville and spend the day there. We stopped at a Panera to eat breakfast. We come into the Panera. There's a lady behind the counter, so friendly, so nice, and there probably weren't three or four people in Panera at the time. So we went up to her, and Sherry wanted to order something, and the lady said, "I'm sorry, we don't have that ingredient. We can't do that." Sherry said, "Well, we don't have that." And Sherry was very nice. I think she ended up eating 5 cinnamon rolls in gratitude that they didn't have the egg white spinach souffle. But the lady was so nice, and after we sat down, she came and she brought over a bag and set it down, and she even brought our breakfast over. And I told her, I said, "Ma'am, this doesn't belong to..." She said, "Oh, yes, it does." And she began to talk to us, and she began to tell us about her relationship with Jesus Christ. After she left, she went back behind the counter. People were coming in. Obviously, she knew every customer. She was greeting them by name. They were talking to her. She brought a young lady over to us who talked to us, and she said, "Where are you from?" "Well, we're from Florida." She said, "I grew up in Florida, but I moved here to go to Bob Jones University, and I just stayed here." And she talked to us. She went out to her car. She came back. She said, "I'm sorry. Are you going to be in town tomorrow?" "Oh, yes, we're leaving tomorrow, going back to Tallahassee. I want to invite you to my church." I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." We give the greatest thanks to God when we begin to tell our story. Let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Let me tell you how Jesus was there for me. How many people do you run into who are going through something and you realize, "I've been through something similar to that"? And rather than saying, "I'm so sorry for you," what an opportune time to say, "I understand what you're going through, but let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about the Jesus that can walk on water." You know that song, don't you? I can tell from your grin. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about a Jesus who will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you about a Jesus who will open doors that you're not expecting. Let me tell you about a Jesus who will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let me tell you about a Jesus who in the darkest hour of your life will whisper to you, "Don't give up, I'm with you." Let me tell you about a Jesus that can take a banker, move him to Baltimore to meet a widow and get married and become a Methodist pastor. Let me tell you about my Jesus. You've got a story to tell. You've got something to say. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Thanksgiving is not only to be thorough, but lastly, is to be transformative. It is impossible to give thanks and not be transformed by it. You can't talk about good things without smiling. The psalmist, we read it, Psalm 9, verse 2, I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I have never seen a grandparent yet show me a picture of their child, of their grandchild, and say, isn't that the ugliest child you've ever seen? I mean, I thought his mother was ugly, but my Lord have mercy, look at that. No. We say, have you ever seen a child like this? Isn't that the cutest little thing you've ever seen? He's got scrambled eggs on his head and jelly running down his face. Isn't he beautiful? My sons send me videos of their children playing baseball. Sean sent me one this past week of Preston out in the batting cage, and Preston was hitting the ball, and Sean has to write something in there, and he never writes, he's terrible. No, he writes and says stuff like, watch out, Mark McGuire. We're proud. We smile when we're giving thanks. We smile when we're telling somebody about a blessing. Listen to the transforming power of praise, of giving thanks. 126 Psalm, beginning in verse 1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me the joy and the delight of my heart. You can't give thanks without your whole being getting caught up in it. Without your body, your emotions, your heart, your blood pressure, your smile. It all gets caught up in it. Well, I remember the day Sherry and I got married, and I'm standing there with the minister, and Sherry makes a curve. She comes in the back, and then she turned, and she saw me. This big smile came over her face. Don't you worry, sweetie. When you're glad, when you're happy, you can't hide it. You can't tap it down. You can't contain it. You can't say, oh man alive, I am so happy today, but I'm not going to let anybody know. Mm-mm, not me. You walk in the office and people say, what happened to you? Why? You look so happy. You can't hide it. And when the psalmist is talking to us about give thanks to God with all this within you, he's talking about the transforming power in our lives of giving thanks. It produces a crescendo that proceeds from our heart. And we saw it in our text. He said, I will be glad. Don't you enjoy being glad rather than mad? I do. He said, I will exalt in you. Exalt means to rejoice. He then says, I'll sing praise to your name, O Most High. Our text uses these words to show the transforming power of giving thanks. Verse 1, the beginning of verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. The second part of verse 1, I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. The first part of verse 2, I will be glad and exult in you. And then the last part of verse 2, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. It almost begins as this little, almost like a seed of thanksgiving. And it just begins to boil up in his heart, and it begins to get all in him. And before long, he's saying, I'm going to sing praise to your name, O Most High. Thanksgiving begins this ascending flow that changes your heart, It changes your emotions. It changes your mind. It changes your perspective on life. It gives you something that Fox News cannot give you. It gives you something that NPR cannot give you. It gives you something that MSNBC cannot give you. Praise and thanksgiving gives you joy. It gives you contentment. It gives you peace. It stirs up your faith, and it gives you a perspective on life that says all hell may break loose, but God is with me, and I will persevere. Amen. Thanksgiving. Amen. Thanksgiving changes your attitude. It changes your gratitude, and it changes your altitude. Don't wait till Thanksgiving Day to decide to start giving thanks. Start today. Start today by giving thanks. Do it thoroughly. Do it with your whole heart. And then watch the transformation that takes place in your life and the transformation that takes place in the lives of others. Lord God, we have so much to be thankful for. We are blessed in every area. On the right hand and on the left, we see the blessings, the goodness, the kindness, the mercy, the compassion of God. And so, Lord, today, we want to say thank you. We want to declare our praise to you with our mouth. We want to declare our praise to you with our heart. We want to declare our praise to you with our words. May we be people that are known as people of thanksgivers. May this church be known as a place where thanksgiving is lifted up to Jesus Christ. Because, Father, your word tells us that you inhabit the praises of your people. You draw near to us as we begin to lift up your name in gratitude and thanks. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask